going on, everyone? And welcome back to the D-Lloyd NBA podcast presented by CLNS Media, the online leading provider of audio and video content. I am your host, Devin Lloyd, and today is your episode for Friday, November 2nd, 2018. Now, we have a pair of major stories we're going to talk about here in today's episode, and I guess we'll probably go ahead and just start things off in order of how it actually occurred. So, Jimmy Butler, he decided that he will not be suiting up and playing against the Utah Jazz on Wednesday. Minnesota Timberwolves end up winning that game. Initially, a lot of reports started coming out that Jimmy Butler is planning on sitting out with the intentions of trying to get a trade to happen quicker rather than later. He then, of course, texted Rachel Nichols, told her that that's not quite the case. He's not sitting out because he wants to be traded. He's actually sitting out because his body is hurting and he doesn't want, of course, to get injured, anything like that. So when you look into the situation and you ask, what is Jimmy Butler trying to do by not playing in all these games if he's still healthy? Yes, he's sore. Players all over the league are sore at this point. But what exactly is he trying to do? Now, I have a couple theories, of course. He doesn't want to play if you are hurt. Yes, you are in the final year of your contract. We have all just witnessed DeMarcus Cousins get hurt and go from potentially signing a max deal to signing just $5 million. We've seen what happened with Isaiah Thomas. He decided to keep pushing, and he went from a potential $150 million plus million contract to signing for just $2 million this season. So Jimmy Butler could be looking at it from that perspective. If you're not locked up long term, why am I going to push and make sure I play while I'm hurt? At the same time, no matter what he says, he also wants this to kind of push him to other teams so they could get a trade. Because the last game we seen Jimmy Butler play, he went for 30 plus points against LeBron James and that Lakers squad, and they won. So he already looked good, take another night off, and then possibly come back, which he said he will be back Friday against the Warriors, maybe come back for that game. But for Jimmy Butler, he is really trying to get out of there. Now, Tom Thibodeau still is hesitant on trading away Jimmy Butler. He still does not want to do it, and people think he is not ready to do it inside the organization. They believe he's not ready to do it. So it's still going to be that same battle between Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau. I still think ultimately Jimmy Butler gets traded. I think it'll be closer to the trade deadline instead of now, but you'll see what happens because you have to look on the other end for the Houston Rockets. They're now sitting pretty bad, only one win so far this season. And you're looking at the record, you say, okay, you're 1-5. You need to do something with this roster if you're Houston. The roster, yes, you know, you have James Harden injured right now. Yes, you had the two-game suspension from Chris Paul. But at the same time, nobody expected you to be this bad if you're Houston. I thought they took a step back without Trevor Ariza, without Luke Mbamute, but not this much of a step back where if you look at the standings right now, you'll be surprised when you look at the Western Conference and see that the Houston Rockets are currently the worst team record-wise in the Western Conference. Nobody expected that level of bad from Houston. So they already offered 4 first-round draft picks and Brandon Knight, of course, to try to get Jimmy Butler. But we know the Minnesota Timberwolves are asking for Eric Gordon back in addition to those 4 first-round picks. It's not just Eric Gordon by himself. They want Eric Gordon and those 4 first-round draft picks for Jimmy Butler. If you're Houston and you continue to lose, you have to all of a sudden start considering trading Eric Gordon along with those draft picks. Of course, you don't want to do that right now. Eric Gordon plays a key role for this team. He's consistent. He's able to bring that energy off of your bench. You can start him if you need him to start due to injury. But coming off the bench is where he's most efficient. And he's going to be able to constantly shoot for you and score points for you. Of course, everybody has off days. But the majority of the time you could rely on Eric Gordon. So they really want to keep him. But if you keep on losing, you're not going to sit back and just allow this to continue. You're going to try to stop the bleeding somehow. And it may be going to get Jimmy Butler, who is a two-way player. So it's not like Carmelo Anthony. When he came in, he couldn't help you out defensively. We know how bad Carmelo Anthony is on the defensive side of the basketball. But you have the opposite of that in Jimmy Butler. We know Jimmy Butler could guard almost anybody on the court. 1 through 3, he could guard you. You don't mind having him on your roster. He is not as good of a shooter as Eric Gordon, though. Eric Gordon definitely a way better shooter. But Jimmy Butler, you could try to maybe find a way to get him into your scheme. Offensively, he helps. You, of course, you never get mad for having a Jimmy Butler on your team, but I think you take a step backwards with Jimmy Butler instead of Eric Gordon. I know Jimmy Butler can score. He's more of an ISO guy, though. He's not really a catch and shoot. And that's the reason why I said it. You're going to have, at times, 4 ISO guys potentially on the court at the same time with Chris Paul, James Harden, Carmelo Anthony, and Jimmy Butler. I don't like that. I think you need to space out the floor. That's where Eric Gordon and some other shooters can come into play. But you have to definitely think about it if you're Houston trying to get that trade and send Eric Gordon. And I think without a doubt, that is something that the Minnesota Timberwolves would accept. I think they're actually waiting on that to happen. But Jimmy Butler, he's going to keep playing this game where he's going to decide, maybe I want to play this game, maybe I'm not going to play that game. But ultimately, his heart is not in Minnesota right now. He is just waiting to be traded. But somebody who capitalized on the fact that Jimmy Butler did not want to be there, of course, Jeff Teague did not play either, was Derrick Rose. And boy, did we see the old Derrick Rose. He went absolutely off, 50 points, 6 assists, and 4 rebounds on 19 of 31 shooting, including 4 of 7 from the 3-point line. Derrick Rose had an unbelievable game, especially in the second half. He was able to get just about anything he wanted, attacking the basket, mid-range games, 3-pointers was falling for him. Derrick Rose had a crazy night. Led them to a 128-125 win against the Utah Jazz, who are one of the better teams in that Western Conference. Record doesn't show it, but they are one of those better teams in the Western Conference. Minnesota, huge win. But Derrick Rose, it looked good to see him out there again. If you've been following me for a while, if you subscribe to my YouTube channel where I talk about Derrick Rose quite a lot, you know I'm a huge believer in D. Rose. I think he could still, if given the opportunity, could average 17 up to 20 points a game. His game is still there. Of course, he's not as athletic as he was back in his prime when he was 21 and 22, able to dunk on people. No, he's not doing none of that. He's playing below the rim, but he is able to get to the basket. He can still slash with the best of them. He's still able to get a lot of those layups off. His floater is still good. He is now somehow developing a shot, because we all know Derrick Rose could not shoot at all, could not shoot a lick before. But Derrick Rose now is finding a little bit of a rhythm. He's able to do things out here. I was never expecting 50 points, which is a career high. I'd never seen that coming. I don't think that's the new norm for Derrick Rose, but he could still get you 17 points a game given the opportunity. And it looks like he's going to continue to get that opportunity in Minnesota. I like Derrick Rose. I think he's definitely a guy who's going to keep my attention when it comes to watching this season. I think he's going to put together a pretty solid season that's going to surprise a lot of people, especially when you look back at it towards the end of the year and you see what his stats end up looking like. Now, we're going to go ahead and talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers for a second. Of course, they fired Ty Lue on Sunday. They end up winning a game without Ty Lue as the coach, which is definitely surprising. But, you know, every team's going to win at some point, so we're not going to get super carried away by that. They just lost last night 110-91 to the Denver Nuggets. They're now sitting with a 1-7 record in the Eastern Conference. So, they're still not a great team. You fire Ty Lue. what we're hearing, the big reason why you decided to fire Ty Lue is because you don't want your veteran players to play. You want the young guys to get as much playing time as possible. That's what the organization wants from Cleveland. Ty Lue decided to play J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver anyway in a game where clearly it wasn't worth it because J.R. Smith went 0-for-7 from the field anyway. But you decided to go that route. They didn't like it. They're sitting 1-6. They're going to decide to build for the future. Now, one reason why this is all escalating quickly is because for some idiotic reason, management in Cleveland thought that, yes, we did lose LeBron James, but we're still a playoff team, a team that can't compete for the playoffs. So what do? They re-signed Kevin Love. They kept their roster pretty much intact. They want to make sure the continuity is there because we're making another run to try to make the playoffs. That was their intentions. All off season, the entire summer, they thought, hey, we can sneak into the playoffs. You even heard Tristan Thompson before the season began talk about how these teams still have to beat us. We're the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. But then once opening night came and we seen how bad Cleveland looked, maybe you give them a pass. First game without LeBron, you'll figure things out. You'll get things together. You lose another game, not looking that good again. You lose another one, and these games you're getting blown out. Really not that close. And then all of a sudden you're 0-6. You decide to fire your coach. And now you're clearly in a rebuild situation. Now, I say all that to lead to J.R. Smith being interviewed, and during the interview, they asked him, do you want to be traded? And he just replied with, yeah. Simple, a simple explanation to that trade question, asking him if he wanted to go or not. And you cannot blame J.R. Smith at this point. He's doing everything that you would ask out of a player. You told him you're not going to play him. He is no longer in your rotation, period. He's still deciding he's not going to go home. He's going to come to all the games. He's going to continue to show up, continue to put on the Cleveland Cavaliers uniform, although you won't see him on the court. But at some point, you know he's going to want to get traded. That's a lot of stuff to do for a team that you know clearly has no faith in you. Kyle Korver, another guy who they really don't want playing a lot of minutes. He played 18 minutes last night, gets you no points, a big goose egg. But now you have to decide at some point what you're going to do. I think for Cleveland, it's a simple decision. I don't see any chance, unless you pull off a trade and you bring in a major piece back, I don't see any chance that Cleveland is going to make the playoffs, even in the Eastern Conference. And we know how weak the Eastern Conference is. I don't see any way they sneak in with the 8 seed or anything like that in the playoffs. I think they're clearly a lottery team. They're one of the worst teams in the NBA. So what do? It's time for you to go into a complete rebuild mode. You trade Kyle Korver because you could get some value from Kyle Korver. Nothing crazy, but a team will offer you something for Korver. You try to trade J.R. Smith. The reason why that J.R. Smith contract is going to be hard to trade is because he is scheduled to make $14.7 million this season, and he's going to make $15 million next season. It's a lot of money tied up into J.R. Smith, so a team has to be fully confident that J.R. could come in and help them and possibly take them over the top. But let's be real. Who's thinking J.R. Smith is taking them over the top? So I think it's going to be hard to trade J.R. Smith. Now, January 23rd, that is the date to remember because that is the date that Cleveland is now eligible to trade away Kevin Love. I think Kevin Love is going to be a guy when we get close to the trade deadline. His name will continue to pop up. He is going to be the guy who could be moved, who I think will be moved. And if he goes to a team that's contending that just needs that extra player, Kevin Love is definitely going to be great for you in that aspect. But I think he is the first domino that's going to ultimately go. Then, of course, if you can attach a J.R. Smith to a Kevin Love, maybe you could try to push him out that way. It's going to be hard to trade that J.R. Smith contract, but I definitely think there are suitors to try to go get Kevin Love. But we had a ton of games, and something else that happened that was pretty interesting, we had De'Aaron Fox. Now, I'm on the record for saying that I think De'Aaron Fox was the best point guard in the 2017 NBA draft over Lonzo Ball. I think Lonzo, he has the potential. I like how De'Aaron Fox plays, I like that grit he plays with. Now, there may be some bias. He played at Kentucky. Of course, I graduated from the University of Kentucky. So, yes, there is a little bit of bias, but I love the way De'Aaron Fox plays. I watched him all the time while he was at UK. And he has that grit. He has that dog in him that you want from that point guard position. Yes, he may give up some points, but he's going to try to get those points right back. He's not going to take a step back to anybody. And you've seen how he performed against UCLA when he was in college. Lonzo Ball came into Rupp Arena in Lexington. They beat Kentucky. They played each other again in the NCAA tournament. And De'Aaron Fox went off for over 40 points in that game. He was not scared of Lonzo one bit. He definitely wanted to showcase what he could do, and he did. And you're looking at De'Aaron Fox now. Yes, he has some off games where he's not shooting quite that well. He may turn the ball over here and there, but he had a career day last night. A triple-double. His first career triple-double in the second season. And on top of that, every single major category, basically, he set a career high. He had 31 points, career high. 14 assists, career high. 10 rebounds, career high. De'Aaron Fox looked absolutely fantastic. Yes, you have to remember, they played against the Atlanta Hawks, but De'Aaron Fox definitely looked very, very solid, and I was definitely happy for him that he had a great game. Now, for this weekend, we have some games on Friday. Well, we have games the entire weekend that I'm definitely looking forward to, but on Friday, you have the LA Clippers taking on the Orlando Magic. I think the Clippers, they're going to take away the victory in this one. Houston Rockets, though, they are back in action Friday in Brooklyn at 7:30 Eastern, 1-5 against the 3-5 Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn is not that good of a team. If Houston was going to get a victory, I think it'll be against the Brooklyn Nets. If they lose that game, red flags are going to be coming. On ESPN, you're going to have the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Washington Wizards. There's a reason why this is a game I want to point out. The Thunder have now won 3 games in a row since starting 0-4. You're taking on the Washington Wizards, a team who I think we could all agree is super talented. You have John Wall, Bradley Beal, Dwight Howard, whenever he decides to show up. You have talent on this team. But for whatever reason, the last 3 or 4 seasons that we thought the Wizards could do something, they have not showed up. You know how dysfunctional that locker room is, regardless of how great they want to say it is. Oh, it's not that bad. That's a dysfunctional locker room. A lot of finger pointing, could never figure things out. And now it's affecting their play on the court because they're sitting with a 1-6 record. This is too good of a team. Scott, we don't know what's going to happen with him as coach. We don't know what's going to happen with Bradley Beal or John Wall. You have to assume they try to keep those two together as long as possible. If this is not going to work, though, you have to move one of them, whoever's going to get you the most value ultimately. But that's the interesting game because you want to see if OKC can get back to 500, and you want to see if the Wizards could just simply win their second game of the season. Also, same night, this time at 10 p.m., Eastern on Friday, you have the Toronto Raptors taking on the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns, they're struggling at the grade of a team. The Raptors have been absolutely playing crazy this season, and I think they'll continue to do the same thing. Timberwolves and the Warriors, that's going to be a good one. Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, fresh off 50 points. What can they do in Golden State, who has seemingly been just toeing around with opponents, especially as of late? Seems like they take turns. You go off for 40, and you drop 35, and you drop 50, and you hit 10-3. They're just taking turns between Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. think they'll keep doing the same thing. On Saturday, early game, you have the Detroit Pistons taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. That's going to be interesting to want to watch. I want to see what happens in that one. You have the Boston Celtics taking on the Indiana Pacers. That one's at 7 p.m. on NBA TV on Saturday. That's going to be a good one to tune into if you have time to just kind of watch it. The Pelicans against the San Antonio Spurs, and think that will be a good one. See how that game turns out. Then you have the Lakers taking on the Portland Trailblazers again. And Portland's looking good, man. 6-2 is their record. They're playing the Lakers, though, once again, back in Portland. That's going to be a good game to watch. And then on Sunday, the top games, once again, you're going to have the Timberwolves taking on the Portland Trailblazers. I think that's going to be a good one to watch. And then LeBron, Lakers taking on the first Eastern Conference team of the season, but it's a tough draw. They're going to be taking on the Toronto Raptors in Staples Center. Typically, LeBron James plays well against the Raptors, but this is not Cleveland anymore. This is the Lakers, and they've been struggling trying to finish out a lot of these games. But that is everything that I have here for today's episode. Hope you guys did enjoy it. If you would like to stay connected, make sure you go ahead and follow me on Twitter at DLloydTV. That is DLLOYDTV. And to stay up to date, if you want to stay up to date, all the latest news, rumors, transactions in the National Basketball Association, make sure you go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That is DLloydNBA, still on that push for 30,000 subscribers. I hope you guys did enjoy listening to this episode. I enjoyed bringing it to you. Of course, I like talking with you guys about basketball. As long as you're talking about basketball, it's going to be a good day. But I hope you guys have a great weekend. I'll be back Monday for another episode of the DLloydNBA podcast. Like I said, have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. Peace.